With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 16 years from today, Greg Gerstner will finally land the perfect cannonball. Epic splash. Unsuspecting friends. A work of art only possible because Greg is already meeting all these same people at AARP volunteer and community events that keep him active and involved and help make sure his happiness lives as long as he does. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/local.
My Wrangler jeans from Walmart are legit my favorite go-to pants. They got that slim cut that's always fresh for going out.
Hey, what's up?
They're durable enough, even for my shift.
Water wrap.
And stretchy enough for when I want to kick back and chill with a movie. So basically, they can do it all, and on my budget. I mean, come on. You really can't beat all that. Shop your Wrangler pants at Walmart.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
When everybody, you hanging in? I'm Jeff, that's Tom. On Twitter, it's at Jay Cameron Show. And for those of you driving about, listening on 93.3 FM Real Talk Radio, appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube, War Chant TV, and you're in the Heisen Lico Law Firm chat, as always, thank you. And a reminder that that chat is indeed sponsored by Heisen Lico Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. So if you've been in an accident, call Heisen Lico Law Firm, 813-803-0733. That's free consultation, no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Lico Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733, or you can visit HeisenLicoLawFirm.com. Heisen Lico Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. Tom, good day to you, sir. Welcome on in, buddy. Let's talk about two games from Florida State. We got games tonight to watch, or today and tonight to watch. And then, of course, Florida State plays tomorrow. And then we also had the U.S. Open, amongst other things that we have to touch on with recruiting as well. Busy, busy weekend. How you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. You know, I think if this show occurred on Saturday, then it might have a bit of a different tenor. But we've had some time, had some chances to process some things. And then obviously we got to see a good performance yesterday out of the baseball team out there in Omaha. But it's funny. I was talking with Ira just a little bit, and we were recapping some stuff for the Smash. And to relive it on Friday still hurts, and it's going to hurt for a long, long time. But it's nice that we're convening after seeing a response and after seeing an outing from Carson Dorsey that was just nails. When we had to have it, he delivered. So there is a tinge of sweetness to go with the bitter on a Monday.
Carson Dorsey has been the best pitcher for Florida State in the postseason. It's not close. He has been dominant. He has been awesome. He has led the way. It's exciting to see a guy like that emerge in those situations time and again. He did it against another really good lineup. So good for Carson Dorsey. Good for Florida State to respond. You cannot think of a more devastating way to lose a game against a number one seed in which you had your ace on the hill. You pound out 11 runs. You're up 9-4 in the middle innings. Really, everything that we know that transpired, I went back just to double check the moments and make sure that I had all my facts straight and to make sure that, you know, I wasn't overcome by or swept up with emotion as we did the watch along, and just wanted to make sure and confirm that what I thought happened happened, what I saw that bothered me, some things that are just baseball being baseball, all that sort of thing, that all those things and all those particulars were true. And they were. And you know, what's frustrating is, Tom, and I hate to do this. This is going to sound self-serving. I don't mean it to be. I mean it to be somewhat illuminating here. Every single concern that I addressed about the team on Friday going in, every single thing that I thought was a reason to be concerned or something that could come back at the very least to haunt us, held true. I questioned our outfield defense repeatedly in the week leading up to this game. Our outfield defense wasn't good, even when we had a defensive replacement out there. They struggled to make plays. Not all of them were routine plays, but they're plays that just have to be made, especially if you're a defensive replacement. I spoke about how we were weak at catcher, weak defensively at catcher. That turned out to be true in more ways than one, including a beautiful relay from the outfield where you have an out and the catcher drops the ball. I don't care that it's a knee. You have to hold it with two hands. That cannot happen. It does happen. You lose by a run. That cost you a run. You have a base running mistake. You throw a ball away. Defensively, I was a little worried about him, and that came back to pass. We worried also when you go back and we talk about all the things that, you know, I was – well, how about this? I thought the guy that had real power that would translate to Omaha is Jaime Ferrer. Said it on the air, first guessed it. It's real. That power is going to translate to the league. He can hit at any ballpark. I worried that some other guys would have a harder time with that. We hit the ball just fine, but there's some things that you just – you cannot do in close games against great teams and expect to win. Fortunately, Tennessee made a ton of mistakes as well. We kind of earned our way in some areas. I wondered aloud too, Tom, last week when we talked, and this turned out to be prescient as well. I thought it was a little overrated that Florida State hadn't been out there and Tennessee's been out there three of the last 4 years. That, you know, the truth of the matter was that I thought both teams would be nervous. Turns out I'm right about that. Both teams looked really nervous in the first three innings of this game. The stage is huge, and it's hard to know how people are going to react. And it is interesting that even though you have one team who had a ton of experience and another who did not, I thought the number one ranked team and the one with the experience looked a little bit more nervous than Florida State did for much of that game. In the end, you should have won the baseball game. Yes, I thought he went around. It is frustrating. I will also admit that I'm not surprised that the third base umpire did not ring him up. Truth be told, I think it's a hard call to make. A, so does Link. He said as much. B, I think it's a really hard call to make if it's for the third out in game one of a contest that has been as hard fought as that. You don't see too many third base umpires in the pros or college like to end the game on that call. They don't like to do it. They just don't. And we get into the age-old arguments about if you broke the plane or not, you know, in the sixth inning, would you have called it? Well, if you would have, then you have to call it in the ninth inning. But we know that's just not the way the games are umpired. So it's frustrating. We also worried about the arms out of the bullpen and whether or not Florida State would have enough if Jamie Arnold wasn't able to give you six. I worried that he would not be able to give you six. These are high-pressure pitches. We talked about this on Friday. The anxiety level is intense. You've seen, as you well know, Tom, a shrinking of the strike zone in college baseball. So you're not going to get as many borderline calls as you do in most years, and certainly not this year. And then I think, again, going against that lineup, the tax that it takes on you to have to execute to the finest degree, pitch to pitch, knowing that the consequences of missing your spot by an inch or a quarter of an inch could be a home run, could be a guy hitting for a cycle, could be any number of things. So seemed to came to fruition. Now, I do want to say before we circle back on that and have an engaged discussion about it, that I was really proud of what I saw yesterday. I think as devastating as that loss was for Florida State and the many things that you could really get angry about, you know, again, not playing balls in the outfield well, a base running mistake, Arnold didn't help himself throwing a ball away, the catching mistake, the non, you know, called third strike that would have won you the game. You can dwell on any facet you want, and it leads to frustration. You also made a ton of mistakes. And they're the kinds of mistakes that tend to linger in your mind overnight. They're the kinds of things that are not as easily to put behind you and soldier on. They're the kinds of mistakes that cause you as a player, especially one who may have made one of those mistakes, to think about it over and ruminate over and over again in your mind what could have been, an inch here, a foot there, a throw there, a catch there, all of those things. When you had the chance, because you're every bit as good as the number one ranked team in the land, and Florida State proved they're every bit as good as Tennessee, and they're certainly at this point looking like the best offensive team in the College World Series. They've proven that as well to some degree. So you know that they can't help but probably think to themselves, damn it, man, we should be 1-0 with a chance to go 2-0 and a chance to be in the driver's seat to win a national championship. And so I worried when they took the field, would that be a hangover? And Dorsey gave them everything you needed, was sharp from pitch one, never looked nervous, seemed to have complete control of the game, is clearly trusted by Micah and this staff to go deep, deep, deep into games. They are now routinely asking him to throw 110, 115, 120 pitches. They just believe that he's the answer. They clearly do not believe they have arms in that bullpen other than Ox that they can trust, and that's where this team sits. It's a snapshot of some things we already knew, which is that Florida State offensively is a juggernaut. Up and down that lineup, they are a bear to deal with, and the best teams in the country have a hard time stopping this offense from tattooing their pitching. Tennessee ran out a bunch of guys, Tom. I went and looked it up afterwards the next morning when I was frustratingly going through everything that happened. All of those kids that they threw at Florida State in the first game were kids that had meaningful innings in the biggest games of the year against top 10 teams in the SEC and who had success. And yet Florida State did a number on them. So again, we see this offense is no joke. We knew that going in. We knew that this Florida State pitching staff had been diminished both by quality and also, or lack thereof, but also by injury. And we saw that too, because they ran out their arms out there. They ran out the guys they trusted in game one. It didn't happen, but there they get the Herculean performance from Carson Dorsey. And now they're in a position to make this kind of interesting, because you get that extra day's rest now that, you know, ordinary in a series, you'd be playing back to back to back. And you've got this extra day. So we'll see how they go about it. They could make it enticing. I don't think they have the depth of pitching to get through this, to navigate this, to come all the way back and play for a championship. But I'm glad they weren't the first team to take it on down the road. I'm glad they won a game out there. I'm glad they showed they could play with anybody in the country. I'm glad that the nation got to see that under Link Jarrett, this is a group that is going to be, I think, consistently a tough team to beat, that will show up, that will be locked in, that will rebound when things go wrong, that will play you physically and mentally tough year in and year out. I think that's where we're at. I think we learned a lot of what we already knew with one really frustrating ending.
Yeah, I think the mantra from here on out is don't let us get to Thursday. Don't let us get to Thursday, which is where it's a true elimination game for both sides, and Florida State has pushed their half of the bracket to the brink. You got to do a lot between now and then to even get to Thursday, obviously. Sure. Tomorrow, you've got to survive. I think, again, it's an oversimplification to say you need to outscore your opponent. Of course you do. That's the object of the game. But I think you got to go up again. The bats have to give you a lot of runs tomorrow again, because this would be the Tuesday game is the one where you don't have many solutions the guys that you are confident in. So this is like a midweek slugfest that you're going to need to go through tomorrow. But if you can get through that, somebody who can give you some serious length will be available on Wednesday. If not, multiple guys who can give you length will be available on Wednesday. So if you can get from tomorrow afternoon to Wednesday afternoon, don't let us play Tennessee with all the pressure on Tennessee in that situation and us coming back from the depths of going barbecuing to play for a chance to get to the best of three. Again, a lot has to go right for Florida State, but the way these bats are swinging and the way they responded yesterday and the way this team has shown mental toughness, do they show moments where they're nervous? Absolutely. Quite a few in the last couple of weeks. Do they show moments where they don't play as clean a defense as you want? Absolutely. Quite a few in the last few weeks. Did they squander about seven amazing opportunities on Friday to either put the game away with their pitching staff or with a key at bat? Yeah. Yeah, they did. But don't let us get to Thursday, because if we get to Thursday, that team will be full of belief, full of the bravado that it has, and you will have an opponent in Tennessee back on its heels. I just hope we get there, because I'd love to see that game, and I'd love to go on the ride between now and then.
I would, too. I don't think it'll happen. I'm not predicting it'll happen. I think they'll lose before that happens. They're 6-1 in the postseason, if that's right. They won the first two, and then they won three straight, and then they lost the game to Tennessee, and then they beat Virginia. So I think they're 6-1 overall in the postseason. They nut cutting time, they've been good. They lost a game to the number one team in the country, made too many mistakes, really caused a whole lot of consternation for Tennessee. I think Tennessee's, being honest, they would tell you that they know they didn't deserve to win that game, but you can't keep giving teams opportunities, especially ones with as deep a lineup as that. Those kids, when given that life, took advantage of it. It's a really loaded lineup. I mentioned before the series, we already knew it. Their coach is insufferable. He was again. But I think that at the end of the day, it serves as a reminder. We keep going back to this, or I want to keep going back to this because I think it's important. Florida State was obsolete in the world of college baseball last year. It was a program in disarray. We had reached a crescendo of suck in which you didn't make the postseason tournament. It was as tough a season as any Florida State fan who's been going to games for 30-plus years could ever remember taking in. And here it is a year later. They're still around in the College World Series. They lost in heartbreaking fashion to the number one team in the country after having scored 11 runs and not winning the game, and then just dominated Virginia yesterday, dominated in every facet of the game. Florida State was much better. So I just cannot be disappointed. I could be disappointed in a result where you had a chance. I can be aggravated. But the warts that remained from the team that, you know, again, you had to transition out of, and you did a great job of filling holes and improving lineup and making sure that you gave yourself a chance to win series, to compete at a high level, to get ranked, to be in a position to go back to Omaha. You did those things. You're rewarded for that. You're celebrated for it, but it doesn't erase some of those problems that we knew were still in play. And I think that will be the goal when they do lose, is you learn from this. And then I think, Link, there's not a lot of – this isn't a case where you've got to read between the lines. You know, sometimes when you have a problem in at work or in your personal life, there's something at play that's not obvious. There's something that's not standing out, and neither one of you or your coworkers can put their finger on it. And you're just beating your head against the wall at night, you know, kind of laying in bed going, what can I do to make this aspect better? What did I not do in this arena where we could have been improved here? What is it we're missing within this core group? Like, a lot of times, those are really tough questions that require amazing nuance and maybe four or five sets of eyes and brains to come together. Nah, not this one. You don't have enough arms. When you watch North Carolina and others roll out 5, 6, 7 guys that they trust to pitch in big moments, I mean, you know, that then the answer is obvious. You're just still playing catch up from a pitching standpoint. certainly didn't help you any that you got screwed in that you lost one of the more competitive arms in the rotation that would have, I think, not only deepened, but changed the way you approach certain pitching decisions in the postseason. But you don't have that luxury. You did lose those guys, and you did lose a lighter, and you don't have that many people that you can trust. But it would have lengthened that group that you had. So he knows what he's got to do. It'll be, you know, he'll go to war for that. He's talked openly about the fact that they're going to have to do a lot more from a standpoint of NIL and et cetera, facilities. But one step at a time, and they've taken a giant step forward. There's a good baseball team that's still competing out there. I wouldn't put it past them to maybe give themselves an opportunity to, you know, extend this a little bit further. But I just don't think they have the arms to get to a Thursday. I hope you're right, Tom. I hope we see it. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Yeah, it was good to see that team bounce back and dominate. By the way, ESPN, you nailed it, Tom, when I texted you after the Ferrer guns blazing. I don't know how in the world they're not on a delay or at least have a producer in the truck going, fellas, emotional moment. Probably don't want the mic right there in the dugout to hear every word and every exaltation after yet another home run. But boy, we got it all. It was just like the old days where Tiger Woods was on the box and they had those mics primed and ready to go for that pull hook and the inevitable MF or GD that they were going to get. And then they would stutter the F their way through their, sorry about that, folks. You knew it was coming. What are you doing? That was hilarious. I paused it for my kids and brought them in so they could hear it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, so the only explanations for that are they're not on delay, which I don't believe, that they're understaffed, which I could believe.
Yeah, I believe that too.
Or they just choose to let it go, which is also somewhat plausible. Maybe like, woo, got a little salty there. We'll let it get to a line, but he certainly crossed over the line of what I would allow if I was in the truck, if I was saying, guys, it's 3 o'clock Eastern on the East Coast. A lot of kids watching. Let's stamp it down. You know, we can get the echoes of what's happening in the dugout rather than the raw feed up in his mouth as he's saying some choice words.
It was great. I still laugh about it. I mean, it was clear as day. Every now and then when you're watching an NFL game and their effort to bring the authenticity home, they'll access that field mic. And the stuff you hear between plays of an NFL football game, well, it's the stuff of legend, as we well know, not your normal work environs. And so you'll hear some things when men are bludgeoning other men and those men are fighting back from said bludgeoning. They tend to have choice words for one another. And it's usually a little dicey for public consumption. But I love when they do it. Like, oh, well, here we are. I remember early on telling my wife, like, if you heard the things that men say to each other in a locker room, and I'm not talking about, you know, over the top sexual escapades or things that they're bragging about. I'm talking about just a common conversation between dudes. You'd be like, what is wrong with these guys? Why are they? If you heard Tom and I on the golf course, you might think, what in the world? I mean, it's just, this is the way dudes are.
Yeah, that poor old lady on the North course, she heard me. And you know what's so funny is I can throw down and say some things, but I don't usually, you know.
Well, we don't carry on, right?
You know, like if we had a jar that we put a penny in, you'd put more pennies in than me in those situations. But that day I was feeling it, and I was describing things, and I was telling you words, and I wasn't holding back in terms of language. And there that lady was, just watering her lawn with a hose, turning around like this, like, oh, okay. Didn't expect you to be there, ma'am, at 11:30 on a work day, but there you are.
There you are, watering said lawn, and you heard every bit of that conversation, which was followed quickly by me chuckling and then going, good shot, Tom. And then we just kept going. Like, that's all you could do.
That's the beauty of having a cart versus walking. You don't have to live in that moment nearly as long. You just hop in the cart and go.
Our friends at Tried and True are prepared to help you start saving and making money. You need to know this. The summer's here. They got you covered. You get to choose between one of three offers, $1,000 off a point-of-sale system, perhaps no gateway charges. It's your choice for 1 year, or a free video menu or ad board when you become a Tried and True client. Offers being extended from now through July 31st. Still got time, but let's get on it. If you've been thinking about making that change, do it. They're saving you money. They're making you money. Get in on the savings, and don't forget 10% of the net revenue will go to the Battle's End. Call Don or Joe, or you can scan that QR code you see on the screen if you're watching on War Chant TV. That number, 844-463-6653, 844-I'm-for-Noel, if you're driving about and you need something to remember. For all the details, tell them you want the Jeff Cameron Show special. Yeah, I don't think that we'll get to that magical moment where we're all on the edge of our seats again with an opportunity to rematch and put ourselves in a position. But I think we can make it interesting, and I am interested to see strategically how they go about this. Baseball's a weird game. I will concede the reason I tell you they don't have zero chance to do it is because baseball's funny, and there are plenty of examples throughout the history of the game in Major League Baseball, college baseball, you name it, where somebody steps up and achieves above and beyond what you thought was possible based on the evidence before you in the course of a season. Like, what if Abraham all of a sudden gives you 5 2/3 of shutout baseball? You'd be like, well, really had no reason to see that coming, but I suppose he could.
Well, exactly. I think the spot tomorrow is one where you've got nothing to lose if you're one of those kids. It's the same reason, it's the other side of the coin, that you wouldn't turn to Abraham in the ninth and pull Oxford after he issues a walk early in that inning. Like, you don't want to put a kid in a situation where they feel the heat of that moment. Tomorrow against North Carolina is nothing like, while the temperature may be higher, the heat of that moment is nothing like what Oxford went through on Friday against Tennessee. So it wouldn't stun me, because even though it's Omaha, that's a much easier spot. Your back's against the wall. What else are you going to do? It's different than sleeping on something like game three of the final series Monday night. And, you know, you would have to turn to Abraham then. Ooh, I'd be very worried in that situation. But with these bats, I'm not saying it's impossible. We've had teams out there in the last 15 years that in this situation, you knew it was 99.999% impossible that they could not climb the ladder. This one might, because if you get the job done tomorrow, if you want Jamie Arnold available at all in the best of three, in the pie in the sky scenario, you better throw Wednesday or not throw at all. Like a bullpen, even if it's a bullpen, quote unquote, that just happens to be in a game where he gives you 30 or 40 pitches.
Right.
It has to be Wednesday that he would throw if he's going to be available down the line again.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that desperate times, desperate measures, all those things are true. But also, we've watched the way that college coaches, once you get to the College World Series, change up routines and game plans all the time. It won't be unique to Lincoln, Micah, in this Florida State team. I know you're suggesting that they'll have to do that. I agree with you. I watch teams. I mean, how many times have we watched teams that get deep in this thing? Perhaps they do overcome and win a game that they didn't think they'd win, and now they are completely depleted from pitching, and then you'll just see the strangest thing in the world, like yesterday's starter come in and pitch the eighth. You know, we've seen things like that happen where you're trying to win a championship. These kids want to win at all costs. They get it, man. They're competing. They're going to do anything they can. If you say to them, hey, man, I know you threw 100 pitches yesterday. Well, hell, for example, Randy Johnson did it for the D-backs when they won the World Series. So it happens. Like, you get a guy who starts the day before, you're like, I'm going to need you in the ninth. Okay, let's go. Let's get it done. I mean, we got a chance to win a championship. Sure.
Yeah. And again, it's just, I know that this is the very infinitesimally small scenario here where Jamie's going to pitch twice more in Omaha, two more times. Yeah. But your choices to have that happen are narrowed to one way, which is he pitches Wednesday, and then he would pitch somewhere in that final three-game series. Because if you weren't going to do that, then you go all in on Thursday. Let's get to Thursday. He has a full outing, and you never see him again. These are the only two realistic options that you have. But if you could just play the nine innings now and just say, I guarantee you Florida State beats North Carolina. At that point, it does get interesting because I see the run totals that Evansville put up against Tennessee consistently in their super regional. And I say, what the hell? We could put up 7-8 runs a game against Tennessee in back-to-back games. I don't know if it'll be enough because 11 sure as hell wasn't enough on Friday, but hey, man, crazier things have happened. And this lineup is good enough to do that.
The lineup is spectacular, and it is hard to imagine they were able to piece this together so quickly. I think the core of it is that you got your best hitters to come back, obviously. Cam coming back and Tibbs coming back, guys like that coming back, changed what was possible. But correctly identifying and placing around those big bats the guys that they have and the watching and to watch those guys excel in the way that they have, many of whom you're going to have an opportunity next year to see continue to grow, is really exciting. I just, if it's possible, I'll reiterate this. I think watching this program operate and seeing where they are in comparison to the best teams in the country and where this offense is and the way they comport themselves in terms of, I'm talking about being mentally tough, is a really good indicator that they're going to be in really good shape for the foreseeable future. I really feel strongly that Florida State's in a great place right now. And, you know, whether they win the next game, lose the next game, whatever it might be, that is just not going to change for me. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. How many days, Tom? I haven't checked. We've been sidetracked, thankfully, with the U.S. Open, college baseball going on. To some degree, a pretty boring championship series between the NBA finalist and NHL finalist. But nonetheless, distractors, Major League Baseball to boot. I know your Mets won 3 straight over the weekend, I think it was, buddy. That's good for you. We took 2 of 3 in Colorado, so it was a successful weekend for both our clubs.
It was indeed. Since we had Grimace throw out the first pitch, the McDonald's character, the Mets are undefeated. We've won, I think, 9 of 10, 10 of 12, something like that. So good times are abound there. But I heard where you were going. I know Troy usually does a great job in the comments before we start on War Chant TV. He usually has the counter, and I'm scrolling up because there's so many comments today. Nope, didn't have the listing. Upper 60s, lower 70s, where are we at?
Well, it's 67 days, 23 hours, so it's really like 68 days. But, yeah, that's where we're at.
Very nice. Well, on Ireland time, it speeds up all the faster as well. We did get a little bit of a back and forth with the delegation today with some good news.
We did. And we will be in a classic Irish pub in the heart of it all, city center. Maybe we'll run into Herb Street and have a conversation since I was just telling you guys on Friday that that's where ESPN plans to be. But, yeah, we'll be there and welcoming in Florida State fans and all that would have us and be around and enjoy the conversation for shows that we'll be doing over in Ireland. We'll be there for like a good week leading up to that game, and I intend to make the most of it. This will be the third time I've been to Ireland. So I don't need to go gallivanting about as much as you or others who have not been there need to do. So my evenings will just be spent in the pub. I've been all over Ireland. I've seen all that Ireland has, and I love it. It's awesome. But I'm there to do work on some Guinness this time around and get ready for some football.
That's the thing, though, is that the evenings will be spent doing the show in the pub. It starts at 6 o'clock local time, whereas 6 to 8 p.m. show on Ireland time. And that will be how we hold it down, because there will be post-show Guinness. We'd even do like the overtime Guinness segment.
We can. I'll be happy to do it. I'll do an extra hour throughout if you want. I'll dedicate it. I mean,
15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you're the one offering this up.
Well, I'm going to be golfing in the mornings. I'm going golfing early in the mornings. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So the good times will be had, my friend, and I'm looking forward to it. I know one of the days I plan on golfing with you as well. But yeah, man, we're going to have a blast. It gets exciting where we have these emails that come into us, and we, like you said, we're having the interaction with the delegates and we're able to talk about what our plans are, what we'd like to do, what we envision, what we're hoping for. I know that we'll both be at Leopardstown at some point, I think, to watch the horse racing and to gamble. So this is going to be a great trip.
Yeah, that would be the Thursday show. The Thursday show will be from Leopardstown. So we're doing the pub shows every day but Thursday. Then we have the tailgate show on Saturday. The good news is we're getting close enough, but as we get closer, there's an app and it rolls out. It gives you the schedule, the itinerary, where we're all going to be. We're working on some final logistics, but man, we're going to be doing shows from three different locales in Ireland over the course of the week. And that doesn't include, I might do one from a hotel for a day or two before you get out to Ireland, because I'm going early.
You know, this sounds so spoiled, and it was, and I don't mean it to be. I mean, this was what the arrangement was. I didn't ask for this, but we had drivers when I went out there this last time with Aslan and Ira that were at our beck and call. We could just ask for our driver to come pick us up and take us anywhere we wanted to go. And I don't know if we've secured drivers, but I have become accustomed to a way of life in Ireland, Tom, that has me never having to drive or really walk anywhere. I just call the driver. Now, if we're going to be asked to do broadcasts from three different locations in and around Dublin, I would think we'd need drivers. I don't know. We should probably bring that up to our guys the next time we have our Zoom meetings or something. And I also loved my driver. I got to know him. He was a sweetheart of a man. Been driving in Ireland for years. He had driven Guns N' Roses around when they were there. And he was hilarious. He had funny stories. And so I don't know. I want to make a request for the same driver, because he was rock solid and always knew the kind of mood we were in and where to take us and the like.
Well, you have the connections to make that request. I do not. This will be my first foray out there. But the one thing I will say is we won't need security. We could hang out the windows of the automobiles and say, "What's up, everybody?" Stick your hand out. You get high fives as we're rolling down the streets of Temple Bar, whatever district you want. We'll do it.
That area is across the street from the hotel that Bono owns, and there is a chance you just see him walking down the street. We have a Guinness with Bono. That'd be fun. It'll be fun. The whole thing. I cannot believe we're under 70 days. Let's get back to the football part of this. When you get down to basically 2 months until we start playing football, you know how I am. I start getting kind of, here we go. We got to do a W's and L's soon, I think, Tom. I think we're probably due. I feel like we've done them in June, and then we revisit them in August. Is that what we do? I can never really remember. Sometimes we do June, July, and August.
Yeah, I think this one might call for a few. We could do a W's and L's from the pub one day before the season starts. That sounds like magical.
Whew, W's and L's from the pub with the locals. Hear, hear.
Very confused. They're very confused as to what we're talking about, the locals. But that's okay. They'll get into it.
It's interesting when you go to Ireland, there's a huge push for both the National Football League and college football. Now, college football is their latest endeavor. They're pushing to make this a thing, obviously. Think about the tourism dollars that they see in Aer Lingus trying their best to get this to be a locked in tradition for the biggest names in college football. And I can tell you guys this for context. Yeah, Notre Dame's played there, and Notre Dame affiliated with the Irish, of course, that got them very excited. But in truth, when we were over there talking to their officials and talking to the people that organized these events, they were over the moon at the idea that you could have a Florida State agree to come play there. They knew why Notre Dame did it, but really, if you look at the teams not named Notre Dame with that direct affiliation, they haven't been able to get like a Georgia or a Texas or an Alabama or a Michigan. They haven't been able to. They wanted to get a blue blood like Florida State to say yes. And the fact that we did was an indicator to them in their eyes that this thing is growing in the way that they had hoped. They've sunk a lot of money into it. They really make it first class. I think you'll see the city welcomes people. I'm not paid by these folks, so this isn't me trying to sell something that benefits me. I'm going either way. So just so you know where it's coming from, everybody, I'm not told to facilitate this. yeah, they like it when I talk about it, but I'm giving you my real feelings. And I love that the city's embraced football. The questions you get are outstanding. Like when you go to the pubs, and I made sure to check out as many pubs as I could to provide context for the locals. And when you went to those pubs, you would have these conversations and you'd be surprised the level of sophistication involved in some of those questions. Like for the ones where the game has clicked, they have NFL bars where they all gather to watch the NFL games and they have questions about that. But then they'll start asking questions about the difference between the NFL and college football and how is it perceived in this country and why is it that the group that loves college football isn't always a huge fan of NFL football and vice versa. They want to know the history. They want to know the differences in play. I talk about some of the most obvious differences between college football and pro football is the number of plays that are run per game. Obviously, the NFL, you can have very few plays run per game compared to a high-flying college football game. For a long time, you know, you'd see 57 plays running an NFL game, and you got to the point where tempo offenses were running 90 plays in college football. So little subtle things like that, or maybe not subtle to us, but subtle to them. It's a fun conversation, and the people respond accordingly, and they love it. It just makes you realize some of the reasons that you love the game and some of the reasons you got into the game, if that makes sense.
Well, the weather's going to be nice, too. That we love football in good weather. That's the other part. You know, when they release the kickoff time for Memphis at noon, you go, ooh, okay, all right. There's a bit of a wince. That could have been an 8:30 kick. That would have been all right. That could have been a 9 a.m. kick. Would have been all right. A little nooner. Second half's going to roast. But then when we think about those November games that we have at home, you know, every other year for Florida, usually you welcome in a tune-up game for the game against Florida. But usually also you have a nice ACC opponent in the beginning of the month. And you hope every year this time, boy, I wonder if we can just catch one of those weekends. Because from about the 20th of October through the end of the season, there are two exceptional weather weekends in Tallahassee. And you just hope they align with the home game. Because football played in good weather is the best kind of football. And even if it's raining, quote unquote, in Ireland, that means it's misting. And you're just enjoying a beautifully cool day in August.
It will be gorgeous. I was there in July and it was gorgeous. It couldn't have been any better. We had several days with no rain. I know everybody tends to think that it rains all the time there. You get some mistings here and there. We had a little bit of that on one of the days. And the day that Aslan and I played Port Marnock, it was perfect British Open weather. It was like a mist, just a cool little mist with a slight breeze off the Irish Sea. It was incredible in that sense. We couldn't have asked for anything better. But, yeah, if you're going or you're thinking about going and you decide to pull the trigger, first of all, there's a huge – the way that stadium is set up, Aviva, it's got this overhang where a good bit of you that are in the stands would not get wet if it was raining. You think back to the old Dallas Cowboys stadium with the hole. Now, this is a little different than that, but you recall that you could see rain coming through that hole and none of the people in the stands were scurrying. So it was just everybody was fine. And then so there's an element of that, but it's a three-quarter zip, man. Or a quarter zip. It's a pullover. It's a perfect day to watch football, which would be the antithesis of what it'd be here if we were playing the game in Atlanta or Tallahassee. Or, you know, either way, if you were playing at either of these two schools, you'd be miserable playing this football game. It's going to be perfect in Ireland. Here's hoping we get off to a great start and play well. I do have this tabbed as one of the games that we could lose. I don't think we will. I'm picking Florida State. But I do think it's potentially a pretty good football game. I'm curious. I want practice. I feel a little disjointed right now without the connection because – you know how you get a vibe about a program, about a team, about individually and then collectively. And I feel like we've been disconnected long enough now, Tom, that I can't get a sense of where our head's at. And, you know, it's the offseason. It's supposed to be that way. But I like when we get out there to that first week of practice and you're like, oh, they're locked in. Or, ooh, this is a little different. We're not – you can't get a good vibe right now.
Now, the vibe I got from the two spring practices that I saw and watching the showcase itself was that the offensive line has a chance to be true enforcers. And I know I've hoped for that in years past. And we've had some guys that are mean.
Darius Washington plays as mean as he ever has in the 22 years he's been on campus, and I'm really excited to see what that looks like. These two SEC transfers that you have in the interior are mean, large human beings at guard. There's going to be a fierce battle at right tackle. So I think the offensive line has a chance to be the bully that we, I think the play calling will want them to be, which is great. It's a little disjointed on offense. They're still figuring each other out. I want to see what that looks like after a bunch of work in the summer when you're getting on the same page, you're meeting together, you're going through little machinations. You've got a springy receiver in Malik Benson. You've got work that needs to be done elsewhere. Tons of options for every situation that you want at running back. On defense, that secondary has a chance to be also an enforcer's group. Nasty, especially at corner. Safety has questions, but Azarie and the new Fentrell that we saw in spring, if that's the guy that we get in the fall, with Earl in the slot, Earl Little, man, that could be a mean group hawking the ball more consistently than we've seen.
I believe that to be true, and I think the interesting part of the Fentrell comment that you just made is for those that don't know, he looked like a completely different player in the spring that we saw. I mean, he started for us all of last year, so you've seen him play plenty of college football. Hell, you probably watched him star at Virginia as well, so you know what kind of player he is. But I'll admit, I thought he was okay, and then in the spring, he looked good. He went from okay to good. He went from okay, that's, you know, that'll work, to ooh, that might be a difference maker. So to me, that's a big, big change if that's what's going to happen, because we both believe Azarie Thomas is going to have a huge year. There's no reason to think that he won't. So I'm excited about that aspect. Earl Little Jr., you know, that's my guy. I was high on him the second we talked about it the first time around. So hopefully we do have an enforcing secondary, as you just described. Hour number two, Ira Shaffel will join us in that hour. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me, like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh, or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life, and even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T, period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.